And the reason I'm sitting to the side, I'm hoping people will come closer, but the reason I'm sitting to the side is I think it would be helpful when we get to the actual proposal in the comments to put them up on the screen. Barbara Hermanson is on the phone, and we are expecting Candace Walsh, who is also planning to call in. And there's at least one other person who might be coming, Patrick Sheehan, who said he was coming. So, you know, he's got the vagaries of Metro Access to contend with, so he may be here a little bit later. My understanding is this, that the purpose of this meeting is to come up with a proposal that we agree on, that we are comfortable recommending to the full RAC for its vote. And I mean, it seems to me that we can take it even a step further than that in terms of actually beginning to do some work. Now, to engage, I wouldn't, you know, we could engage in, if sometimes I've seen what people do is if nobody asks about a quorum, you just roll right on, but I don't think that would be appropriate given the fact that we're a public body. But I think we can come out of here with something solid that would be sent out to the RAC so that we could, you know, quickly come to a vote at the beginning of the meeting. And also, I should say that because this is a special meeting, according to our bylaws and generally Robert's Rules of Order, you can't talk about anything else except what we call the meeting for. So, with that having been said, so I don't know, John, do you want to put that up? Do you want to put the proposal? Can we do this? Can we put the proposal up on the screen, and then can we put the comments beside it?
I don't think I can do that. I don't want to show one document.
Okay. Okay. So if you would put the proposal. February 28th. Mm-hmm.
Just as a reference, you don't have, I can only hear about every other word that you're saying. There's not a good connection, so I'm going to just listen.
Do you, Barbara, you can also log into the website. Maybe it'll be better.
Oh, okay.
If you go to About Metro Riders Advisory Council, and then your choice will be meetings and reports.
Okay.
There should be a big black box.
Yep.
Okay, so can we at least, can we see the three committees at least? So basically what we did is the leadership team met, and the four of us basically came up with three committees, and we put topics under those three committees. So that's where that came from. Then in response to the request for comments, what you have, which we can't see on a split screen, is what I did is I took comments that people gave me and just, I didn't do any summarization. I just put them down as they were, okay? And so I'm thinking that what we can do is we can maybe look at the comments. Maybe it would be, you know, look at the comments and see which ones we want to change. And there were some general comments that people made that I thought were useful, so that I did put them in, that they don't have anything to do specifically with any specific committee, but specific structure. But anyway, does that make sense to people? Does anybody else have a better idea?
Maybe I'll just start off the discussion a little bit by saying, at our first meeting, we had talked about focusing on deliverables rather than on concepts. And if you look at this, it's not really saying what we're going to produce. It's talking about the issues we want to discuss. That's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's not goal-focused, and that's one thing that I if I had to change one thing about this document, it would be that.
Right. I would agree with you. I think that we should focus on deliverables, and you're right. I think so. I agree with you. That was a comment that Ben made early on, and I don't think I included it in the general information, but I think it should be deliverables-oriented. Another thing is you'll see in the comments from Catherine Cordham, she raised an issue, and her issue was that several of these things were either things that had not yet, were not likely to have any significant action this year, and should we include anything that doesn't have significant action this year? So I thought that was a point that we should talk about, and that sort of goes to me, to Ben's issue about deliverables.
My other question would be, so last year we had a quote-unquote governance committee, and it was basically the leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a fine model because I think most other people on the RAC probably don't care as much about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to replicate that? I'm suggesting that we probably should. But
if
was that the
people
idea?
Don't have any objection, I think it makes sense with the one proviso that if people have a burning desire to get involved in the governance, the meeting will be open and people are welcome to send their input. But I think that makes sense. No, I would say that, what am I saying?
I think the idea would be that it's...
That the RAC leadership team would comprise the governance committee.
And that others could attach themselves if they're interested, but generally people probably aren't going to be interested.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Right. And we definitely have a topic that we need to do because every 5 years the Metro Board is supposed to review the bylaws, which usually makes us review the bylaws. So that's the one deliverable we have to do. And if you recall from a previous meeting, we'd also said that in conjunction with that review of the bylaws, we're going to review an media policy. So can we just strike that up? So does anybody have any objection to having the RAC leadership team plus any interested parties take on the governance committee's duties? Lorraine, you had some?
Well, this is just for this year, right?
Right. No. See, this is another thing, as I was sort of getting this together. Under the existing bylaws, the standing committee, the committees die at the end of the calendar year. But we might want to revise the bylaws and make that different. But right now, but even if we revise the bylaws, given the timeline, they probably wouldn't apply to anything we do this year. So let's assume that for the purposes of this exercise, okay. So does anybody have any objections to that? Frank.
I'm the one thing that I guess normally I would say that I think the leadership team should be the governance committee, except for this year, that the reviewing of the bylaws, because I do think that that's an important thing. Now, I'm not objecting to the leadership team being the governance committee on that. I guess what I would like to know, this is something that sort of came up last year, is what does it mean to be a committee member? And what are the rights and privileges of a committee member? Meaning, you know, I would like to come to the governance committee meetings, and you've already extended that invitation, but am I going to vote on things, or will only the people who are officially on the committee vote? And this did come up last year with some of the other committees as well. And
right.
Who was a committee member, who was not.
Let me toss this to John. As many committee meetings as I've been to of a WMATA, John, I'm confused. The WMATA board has committees, and they have regular members of those committees, but they have other people who attend those committee meetings. Do those other people vote? Not to say that we have to follow suit, but it's a good departure point.
No. Well, let me say this. Some of the Metro committee board committees are committees of the whole. At least one of them is. So it doesn't matter.
Which one is that?
Finance.
Because okay.
They deal with the money.
Okay.
Some of the other Metro board committees are not members. Or I'm sorry, are not committees of the whole, so they're only a subset of the members. In that case, only the committee members are supposed to be able to vote, Now, I will be very frank in telling you that sometimes, and those are the only votes that get recorded, sometimes non-committee members, they're welcome to participate in the discussion, and sometimes they sort of just vote because they get caught up in the spirit of the meeting. We try and tamp that down. The other complicating factor that the RAC does not have is that for them to have a meeting, they have to have somebody from all four signatories, somebody from Maryland, somebody from BC, somebody from Virginia, and a Fed. In that case, somebody can fill in for somebody else. And so then you get weird situations where you have non-committee members voting, but it's because they're playing the part of a committee member. So, you know, I suppose you could propose my recommendation. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I defer to you all how you want to do it. If you want to just leave committee membership open and voting open to anyone that shows up, it seems like encouraging participation would be, I think that would be, I think my suggestion would be to have open committees because I don't think the concerns, I don't think the types of issues that the RAC is dealing with, I don't think you're going to find a lot of need to restrict committee membership because it's not like the, I don't feel like it's going to, there are going to be issues where the RAC members from Maryland can all decide to pack a meeting and that will end up, that will end up being to the detriment of, you know, the other members of the body, or to the detriment of the recommendation as a whole. I'm not sure if I was completely clear on that, but I think it seems to have made sense to Frank. that I for better or for worse, I guess I don't feel like the RAC, the way that the RAC deals with issues and the issues that the RAC deals with are ones that are going to be adversarial within the group. So I don't, I personally, I don't see it as a concern to have membership open to anyone who wants to show up.
Okay. I think the substance is going to be way more important than the form in the end.
The only issue that I have, and this is something that did happen last year, and I want to wrap this up so we can get to the more substantive committee meetings. The only issue I have is, let's say that the bylaws review, you know, takes place as the RAC leadership team, and you come, okay? And then we take it to the RAC, and they have other things, and then next month, Dexter comes. The only thing that I think, the one value I see of having a fixed membership of people who are really responsible in voting is if people come, you know, come and go, then there's sometimes no forward motion because you're going back and trying to get the other new person involved in everything. I mean, yeah. My proposal would be, after having heard what the Metro committees do, is to have the bylaws review team, I mean, have the RAC leadership team be the governance committee, but have the meetings open with all members eligible to speak and I guess eligible to speak and vote. Let's just do it for the sake. I mean, now, are we only talking about the governance committee?
Well, I was using that as an example, but that's not the story. I realize it's probably.
I think it's a good idea. I don't know why you can't have both. You have people signed up for the budget committee, and people were very interested and very qualified, and they're going to be there the whole time. But I think it's good to encourage people to show up to the meetings and put their vote in. And at the end of the day, everything's going to come to the whole RAC anyway. So I don't think you're really – I don't think there's any danger of anything. So that would be my preference.
Okay. So are we sort of saying as a ground rule that would apply to any committees that we set up that you'd have a fixed membership, but the committees would be – meetings and deliberations would be open to all and all could speak and all could vote? Is that the sense of the – okay, so does that settle? Okay, fine. Okay, so now let's go to the, yes, Dexter, I'm sorry.
I was looking at the leadership's proposal. I noticed that the budget committee isn't listed, so are we doing away with the Budget Committee, or?
That shrewd Catherine Corton, she apologizes for not being in meetings, but her comments are very much to the point.
No.
You ask a very good question. When the Budget Committee was set up,
right.
The Budget Committee, Karen Lynch wrote that document, and the Budget Committee was supposed to expire in December, at the end of 2014. In other words, for all practical intents and purposes, the Budget Committee's real work is probably done when the WMATA board votes for the fare increase. Okay, but say, given the news we've heard today, for example, you know, that they have to go back and do a redo of the communications and other parts of the Silver Line.
Right.
Let's say that as a result of that, and more experienced people than I, maybe Ben can speak to this, let's say as a result of that, that forces Metro to go back to the well in some form or fashion for some additional revenue. Then I could see the Budget Committee needing to meet. So I would say you're right. I didn't include the Budget Committee here, okay. Because, but it's sort of like they're on the float. It's still constituted until the end of the year, although it's unlikely that it will have to take
in. There's nothing else to talk about at this point.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask if, and I hate to go back to the past, is that what happened last year and other years, you know, previous years, if they only met during, like, when WMATA board was considering a budget or fare increases, and after the board made their decisions, then the Budget Committee kind of just floated until...
Yeah, it's kind of a done deal after the budget's done, so...
And these other committees are more standing issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you... Oh, okay. All right, so we can strike, we can cross off we can dispense with the governance committee, and, you know, when we write this up, we'll put on the Budget Committee and look at the customer service and the programs and projects, and maybe what we can do is look at the comments that we have in hard copy. And the first one I want to talk about is Etta Sherry, whom I don't think many of you have met because I don't think she's been at any meetings since December. But her comment that I got just today, the one that we really need to talk about, is she thinks that the customer service committee is too broad, and that kind of echoed some of the comments of a lot of people. There were too many things in that, and she specifically brought up the safety and security issues as perhaps being so important that we really needed to maybe tease those out.
I wonder if it might be a more productive use of our time if we just go quickly through the comments and what you have in the proposal and tease out those deliverables and then form the committees based on what's on the list rather than the other way around.
Say that again, Ben.
So right now we have some committees where we're trying to sort of jam some issues into them.
Right.
Why not come up with the issues and then form the committees based on the workload?
Okay.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I think you've got a good point. Okay, so, you know, just starting at the top, promoting the safety and security of Metro riders, and that's definitely, it's like motherhood and apple pie, but how do we change that into something goal-oriented? I know one of the things that we haven't talked about, we really didn't talk about much, I'd say we certainly haven't talked about it this year, and we maybe didn't really talk about it much during the second half of the year, were the concerns that arose the previous year about sexual harassment and assaults on the Metro. And that sort of like died down as an issue that's been in the public, but I suspect it hasn't really died down. So is that something that we want to look at? Well, again, I think we could examine the statistics and make recommendations as to how to make it Metro a safer ride. I mean, that would be one way of translating it into a goal-oriented experience.
Yeah, I think that if we're going to talk about safety and security specifically and the issues that kind of go into what a committee that focuses on that, what kind of a deliverable they could attain in a committee setting, I think we have to break it into what things happen that disrupt safety and security and how they are dealt with and communicated about when they are safety and security issues. And so perhaps we focus on, kind of building off of what you said, mm-hmm. we focus on, all right, are there specific areas where we feel most concerned about the safety and security of the Metro riders? And is there a communication plan that we can address or that we could develop that will better enhance the way Metro communicates about problems in the kind of, you know, safety of Metro, whether that be, you know, crime and incident reports or just kind of general safety updates about the status of a station or a rail line or something like that?
I just was trying to think of how we can use our time the best in terms of moving with these committees. It seems to me like at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of stuff underneath each of these committees, and they're probably not going to be able to focus on all of it. I mean, maybe a way to proceed is just to have, you know, a list of as much as we can put on there in terms of potential things that they can focus on. And then once they're formed, I mean, they're going to have to do this anyways, even with what they have right there. Once they're formed, they're going to have to focus on specific things. So it seems like what we could do right now is just, if something comes up that we think the customer service committee could look at, we just put it on the list, and we don't have to debate about the priority of it, just the fact that it's important enough that it could be looked at.
Okay. I think what we need to do is to kind of get the temperature of the two ways of approaching this. I think one way that Ben has laid out is focus on deliverables, and that would, to me, mean do the projects first and then let the committees form behind them. Dan, in his comments, if you had a chance to read them, but also other people, and just now, is saying form the committees and then let the committees kind of take up the...
I think we're both just saying, and I know Ben always has this, he's a very good force in our meetings in terms of getting us to do something. I think we're both just saying, you know, let's not talk too much about the details, just enough to put, if somebody has a good idea about what a committee could do, that we put the list.
Okay, I see. Yeah, maybe I misunderstood you. Okay, my feeling is, just to get the ball rolling on safety and security, my feeling is that we should take a look at the sexual harassment issue. Okay, I would definitely say that that's something we can do. And I'm also basing that on the comments that Tom Downs made about, I mean, he was very complimentary and has been on several occasions about the airport working group report, which really was Ben's report. I mean, other people were involved, but Ben was really the mover and shaker and the author. And I think I'm looking at things that we can do that are complete staff, you know, where we can have something that's deliverable and has value to Metro. So that's why I'm suggesting that.
I think that something that we can do on that front, and one of the things that I heard a lot about here at the hearings was on communications, and something that would be kind of the hard in-depth reporting that Mr. Downs was talking about might be investigating the signage problems and kind of going in the field and looking at where signage is inconsistent and being able to get some hard statistics on that.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Can you put this up, John? Can you start sticking stuff in red? When you say that, Alde, do you mean actually physically going to stations and looking at signage?
Is that what you did, Ben, for the airport stuff?
For the airport committee, we basically had a series of sort of meetings with people in WMATA, in the airports authority, and with Destination DC to find out, you know, from each of their perspectives, how does airport transportation work? How is it supposed to work? And how are they communicating or not with each other? So we sort of took a piece-by-piece approach to it. But it was also just RAC members talking about their experiences about going to the airport on the 5A, the B30, and, you know, Frank, for example, had some excellent suggestions just from, you know, about the Greenbelt station. That's where he lives. So it was a little bit of gathering data from Metro, a little bit of us going out and, you know, learning what we could, but also just us recounting our own experiences. So, you know, the signage issue actually is something that we did get a presentation on the, like in the rail cars, the big security or safety sign of sort of like, if something goes wrong, here's how you exit the train and all that sort of thing, that they came to us with some ideas and we gave some feedback. So that's definitely an area where we've given some feedback in the past. I haven't seen any sort of operational follow-up on that, but it's something that they're considering. So it's a hot topic in that sense.
So, I mean, I was kind of referencing, and I know that there's, how many bus stops is it? Like 11,000? So there's, it would be not feasible to go to every bus stop and look at that, but they got rid of the schedule on my bus stop like 2 months ago, so I thought they were getting rid of the stop, but it still comes every day. So those kinds of inconsistencies where if we establish enough kind of anecdotes to make it relevant and point to a certain issue with a certain amount of evidence, that's something that needs to be worked on. A report.
Right.
Containing that.
Right. And I'm glad you clarified it, because my one comment at the bottom, okay, of this, the comment sheet was buses, the new plastics, which most of you are not old enough in this room to appreciate. That's the line from Mrs. Robinson, who's the graduate, right? And when they say plastics, you know, it's the new thing. And the reason I say that is that every meeting that I've been to in the last month, the Finance and Administration Committee, which is the, in effect, the Mamata Board Committee of the Whole, at the public hearings, at the board meeting, and at a meeting that Ben and I both attended, an oversight meeting convened by Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton of the District of Columbia, it appears to me that a good project would be bus accessibility, because it would do several things. It would, if we could improve the accessibility of bus stops, it would have a direct impact on Metro access, because there are people who could ride buses on fixed routes, as they call them, if they could get to a bus stop that was accessible. So that would be a way of cross, you know, working with joint venturing with the AAC. And I think it would be doing something very concrete. And of course, we can't, 21 people can't survey, 13,000, 12,000 bus stops, but maybe we could take some segment of that and do it.
I think this may be a good, maybe there's a possibility we can, like, with social media, involve riders somehow and get information from them. You know, like the Twitter feed, I mean, I don't, you know, get very anecdotal, but we can piece it together, like Aldea said.
I should say, having done the airport committee thing, if you're looking at creating a survey or getting data, especially if you need data that only WMATA has, you can forget it. They're very reluctant to give that kind of stuff, even to the RAC, or maybe especially to the RAC. So I would just temper your expectations in terms of what you're going to get from them.
But I think if we went to go out, I mean, if we ourselves selected bus stops and we ourselves selected criteria, which we could probably get.
It's a lot of work to do all that, but
yes,
it's possible.
It's possible.
If someone's willing to, you know, compile.
Right. We're not bound completely by what WMATA is going to give us or not give us. I think that would be a good you're typing the same thing. You know what?
I am typing the same thing, because the what I have on the screen is in PDF and I can't change it.
Okay.
Couple of quick suggestions from me, drawing on both what I wrote and some of the, what other people wrote as well. I think in this year, like specific to this year, the things that we should really tackle are, as Daniel notes, the electronic payment system.
Yes.
The development of that's going to be huge, and that's going to have big impacts for riders. We should get in on the ground floor of that and do some sort of resolution that says, this is what we as riders expect from that payment process. I think we should do, this is something we tried to do a little bit of last year, but we didn't quite get to it, was once the Silver Line starts, service on the Orange and Blue lines is going to drop. what is Metro doing for those riders? I think that's a key issue. It's something that,
you know,
it's complicated, but it's something that we should do. And then the other thing,
go on, Ben.
The other one, an internet plan. We talked about trying to revamp, maybe start with our own RAC website, but also go to Metro's website in general. There's a lot of hidden information there, trying to make it easier to find what riders actually need.
Okay.
And then I had another one, but it skipped my mind. Anyway.
Okay. What does NEPP stand for?
New Electronics Payment Program.
Did you put the sexual harassment and the
So that goes under safety and security?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is long overdue for a look is the performance metrics that Metro uses to rate its own performance. Some of those, if you really look into them, are actually quite flawed. And they're used to push out this sort of good news story about, hey, Metro's doing better, and this is why, and that's why, you know, escalators and elevators don't get fixed. It's because the metric that they use is very favorable to them. So I think that's something that if we look at that and try and say, hey, look, this is actually not a rider-focused metric. This is a Metro-focused metric. That's something that would be a huge value added, not only for riders, but also for the board.
So I think we could do to be refocused, to be customer-oriented. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. And there's more to – so that what is that, John? That's vital signs and some other stuff. Okay.
Might I suggest, Carol, maybe we can just go around the table and everybody can do just what Ben did in terms of offering what they think should be on there, and then we can put it on.
We can do that. You're done? Okay. Lorraine?
I think that looking at this so broadly, I have issues because we have to create work plans, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a concern of mine, just because I had bad experiences with work plans where they write these grandiose work plans, and then when you start researching the issue, you find out that there's no way you can do all this stuff because of HR, you know, they're... Sometimes it's legal issues or some, you know, there's some other issues involved that you cannot get to the information needed to complete those work plans. Mm-hmm. So I really do not like this so broad things. I would rather have some smaller specific issues
that
we can deal with, like what she was saying about the bus stops. That is something specific enough, as opposed to saying promoting safety and security of Metro riders.
We agree with that. We're trying to go around and convert this into goal-oriented.
My thing would be Metro communicating on a regular basis to about issues, as opposed to how do I explain this? When they have a breakdown in X or Y, you have to communicate that clearly and soon. They cannot do it like half an hour later and then you complain that they had people evacuating trains. If you don't inform the people, they're going to do whatever they can on their own. And that's what's happened before. If you're trapped in a train for half an hour and nobody tells me anything, I'm going to do whatever I can to get out. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if there's anybody out there.
So that's
what I'm trying to say. And then this overhead, you know, things that don't work, because sometimes you hit what? Other.
What are those?
And you do not understand what the hell what the announcement was.
Oh.
That's what I am You didn't understand, right?
Right.
So and that's exactly what you hear on the overhead, and you don't know what.
So you're talking about the announcements in the station or on the trains, or both?
Both.
During incidents, when there's a problem, communicating with people.
The only thing that I can, you know, to promoting safety and security, that would be something specific within that.
Okay.
And that.
Well, so what we're saying is improve in-station and on-board announcements during routes, regular and incident, mm-hmm. you know, whatever we call it, okay? Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good one, and I think
I'm sure
they have some kind of a protocol that should be followed. Maybe they don't even have that, but it seems very inconsistent to me during an incident. And like you said, it can be public safety because people don't hear information. Somebody's going to do something stupid in terms of, like, getting out of the car. Or
and also, they think, oh, because we do these alerts. Well, let me tell you something. When you're involved in that kind of situation, you're not looking at the alerts or, you know, you just want to get out of there. You just want to know what happened. And then the information you get on the alerts, oh, because there was a broken down train. And you don't know. If you're trapped in that train, what does that mean?
Oh, okay. Do you have any more out there?
So another kind of thing that I think is often overlooked is barriers to entry into the system. So a lot of my friends, when I talk to them about why they don't take public transportation, is because they can't figure out how to use it at all. And I think that speaks to Ben's plan to improve the website or draw important information out more effectively. Especially for new customers, I mean, you walk down to the metro and you see the fare chart, and you're just like, I've told my friends sometimes to take a cab coming from National Airport because they can't figure out how much to put on a temporary card because the chart is just overwhelmingly complicated. So some things to make that a little bit more user-friendly for new users who don't know how to ride.
So you're saying work on removing barriers to entry.
But maybe just making kind of impressions, just letting them know, because all of us are kind of well-versed in using the system, but maybe putting together a report with difficulties for new users and our first impressions of using the system, or gathering, you know, having some guinea pigs try to figure out routes.
I think that's a very good, I mean, we can do this on our own. We could have people that are tourists in the city or just people mm-hmm. go into a metro station and then see what they can do, and we can get feedback from
them. Yeah, and I have friends visit on the weekend. And
that's very specific.
Express their difficulties.
For first-time users.
DC
okay,
has that
are you mainly focusing well. On new users or?
I was, just because that's the kind of thing that.
But I think that's a good point with the Silver Line, and obviously they're counting on getting more people. So do we want to make that for new users? Of new users and tourists, or incidental users too?
Yeah.
New and incidental users.
Because I kind of learned by trial and error. The first time I tried to use it to get to work, I didn't know when my stop was, and it wasn't clear. You know, just all of these kinds of issues that you have the first couple times that you're riding that I haven't necessarily experienced on other systems.
Okay.
And then, as I said, just communications about bus schedules, which I think are very poor and lacking. Even on Monday, when I was trying to figure out if I could get to work, it just said that the bus was coming every 60 minutes, but no indicator as to, you know, when it would be at West Falls Church. And it's a bus that leaves from West Falls Church, so they had to have, you know, a time that it's specifically leaving. And so my coworker just came and picked me up all the way from Reston to Arlington instead of me sitting out in the cold for 60 minutes. So.
Okay. I'm confused about that.
Bus schedule communications.
No, you're not confusing me now. I was confused about something that I thought of. I thought that the Metro, that when you went online, Metro buses, and if you had signed up for Metro Bus Alert, they actually told you what routes, about the routes
it
rerouting.
It does. So it went on and it said the Route 7 buses, which is the 28T, X, and A, only the 28A was running. on Monday with the snowstorm, but it was running every 60 minutes, but it didn't give you any indicator of when it would be where.
Oh, okay.
So you could have been out there waiting for 60 minutes if you had
okay,
just
so you could have been out there waiting for 59.
Pro tip, if you text WMATA and the stop number mm-hmm. to 41411, it will text you back with when the next bus is coming.
So is that a next? Is that next bus, Ben?
Yeah, but it's like the text version of next bus. I use it every day.
That's the kind of thing that people should know about. I've been riding it for a year and a half.
41411. They don't advertise it. It was actually on the it was on the Metro website for like half a day, and I happened to go to the website on that day, and I used it. I've used it every day since.
That's what I'm saying about.
Okay, guys, this isn't helping you develop a work plan. I'm just trying to be your conscious on your shoulder. We can stay here all night. I'm on the clock, but
okay, right. Okay.
Can we put schedule communications?
Let's put schedule communications.
I'm gonna put it under system.
Yeah, I think it's system user friendliness.
We were talking about with system user friendliness, especially for first time users.
Yeah, first and incidental users. Okay, Frank.
My things are already up there, so I'm just gonna comment on them. I do think that we can't miss the opportunity. I know this isn't a deliverable because I don't know what it's going to be, but to comment on the WMATA customer care rollout, I think customer care and courtesy is courtesy and efficiency of the people that you meet on in the WMATA system is a perennial problem for riders. And then also, it's already been said about the website. I think we should also add and social media to that input on. And I know that I just got a alert.
We'll put under project program and projects committee input on WMATA website and social media. Okay.
And I know WMATA is looking into that. I got an alert yesterday or today about that. That they're asking for input on social media. So again, it's something they're going to be looking at.
Oh. Dexter.
There are actually two issues that I've always had issues with Metro. The first one being is that the doors are always closing too fast. When there are like 100 people going towards Vienna in the morning, going to work during rush hour, and they also need to add it from 6 car trains to 8 car trains. I think it would be more efficient if we focused on that as well.
Okay, put that into an action-oriented or goal-oriented. Yeah.
Well, that was the issue that the chairman spoke about last time was the issue of the fact that there wasn't enough electrical power to go to the 7
okay.
to the 8. So.
But I think if I'm not mistaken, and Ben, I can't remember whether this came up at the meeting we were at and before you left or not. I got the impression that if there were more money available, the delivery of 8-car trains could be accelerated. So we might want to formulate it in that vein.
The proposal that I'm working on, hopefully with some data from WMATA via John, is to look at the issue of Silver Line service in terms of number of 8-car trains that are available on the system now mm-hmm. and trying to put those 8-car trains where riders will need them most. In other words, when the Silver Line comes on, there should, in the rush hour period, there shouldn't be any Blue Line train that's fewer than 8 cars.
Okay.
That's the kind of deliverable that I would look at for that
kind of
issue.
Okay, so what we're going to say is to increase and strategically place 8-car trains
within the current confines of the
system.
Right,
within the current
knowing that momentum is coming and that eventually it will be all 8-car trains in an ideal world, but right now there's a limited amount of 8-car trains. Where do we put them? That kind of stuff.
And how would we deal with the door closing issue?
I'm not sure at this point.
I think that goes back to the customer care recommendations. That there's a safety issue there that the doors stay open for a certain amount of time and they close at a certain amount of time. But I think there's also an element of comment that can be made in the customer care recommendations about the general service, whether it be on the bus or on the train, and the way it's handled. And the doors should certainly be a major part of that. That to me would be where the deliverable comes.
Maybe we could even broaden it to a general sort of rack report on rush hour service, and managing the ever smaller margins that Metro has to deal with in terms of time, in terms of people can fit on every train. I think these all kind of fall into the same bucket, actually.
Put
that on as a separate bullet. I like that.
Yeah,
I think some of this is grounds for.
Do you think this more correctly belongs under customer service or program?
Put it somewhere. Put it under program and projects committee for now. We can fix that. Yeah, we can fix that later on. I mean, it all falls under the broadest rubric of customer service. Karen. Okay. The one comment I have is, having listened to, having gone to the public hearings and then having heard what the Tom Downs and other people said about them at the various meetings I went to in the last month, I disagree with most of you who had the comment that they thought the public hearing should be more two-way communication. My feeling was that the purpose of those hearings was to get public input on fare increases and other things. And if there's and that was the focus of that group, of those hearings. However, it did give me a feeling that one of the things I'd like to see us do is to sponsor a listening session that includes the WMATA board. I think that, you know, the RAC and the WMATA board could sponsor a listening session where the sole purpose would be to listen to what riders have to say without an agenda imposed on them by Metro, which I think should be a separate and apart from the budget hearings. Well, the public hearings are just like what happened. In other words, there's a legal requirement that they, if they are going to do certain things, that fare increases of more, there's certain fare increases that the general manager has the authority to do.
No.
I thought there.
Anytime we raise fares, we have to go out to the public, and anytime we change service beyond a certain amount.
Oh, that's what it is.
I guess they're aimed at a specific proposal.
Right.
Which is different than...
Right, and it seems to me when they use words like docket and things like that, it's a legal requirement that they go out and they do certain things and they publish it in the newspaper, blah, 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 blah. However, I think that it would be good for us to have listenings for the WMATA board and for us to be the facilitators and the hosts for listening sessions where they go out to the community with the sole purpose of listening to what the community has to say, separate and apart from the budget hearings, because the one thing that one of the things I strongly disagree with is I went to four of the six hearings, and I saw people that I knew from WMATA staff, but never did I feel that they never identified themselves as being there for the purpose of answering questions. I mean, if you didn't know that who they were, you would have not known that. And that was not true as far as I was concerned, that they weren't. I mean, they certainly did not offer themselves in that vein. So, therefore, it didn't happen, and it wasn't true as far as I'm concerned. So I think that would be something I'd like to see. And I know I saw this today. Put that back, John. Okay. Speak up at your ride. But, see, it's just like this. It's just like this. Like, this press release came out today, and for a pop-up session that starts today. You know, there was one in my there was one at the Rhode Island Metro today.
And I think there's an odd assumption that people actually visit the Metro website to get information about pop-up sessions when they definitely do not do that, like, at all. And I think you've brought up a point about a sounding board, whether it be public or in some other form. And we've talked about website modifications and social media, and there is certainly room, I think, in our work plan to spread out your kind of sounding board idea across as many of the committees as we see fit, because it falls, I think, under it can be an improvement in many different ways, not just in necessarily the physical, kind of town hall meetings like you described, but also website improvement and social media presence.
And I have one more thing, and that's the 16th Street line. We have got to take some position or stand or do something about 16th Street line. It was in the paper today that it was a subject of, a lot of conversation during the public hearings. And I think that we ought to do something about trying to have input on. Yeah.
I think that's one that was on my list. There was an initial item about assessing bus priority corridor implementation. Mm-hmm. 16th Street is ahead of the game there, and I can tell you from the point of view of someone that's worked in development in trying to get improved public transport in cities throughout the world, the issue of trying to get a lane just for buses at critical parts in 16th Street is really very, very important and could be setting the stage for, you know, the every bus priority system. So I think that would be a really excellent one.
And it has the advantage, I think, of having a lot of the problems that would be in other places, like bus lanes versus parking, bus lanes and how you deal with in traffic, bus lanes versus or in addition to special traffic signals or adjusting the traffic signals to let buses go ahead.
Yeah. Now, we have to keep in mind, though, that WMATA is only a small piece of the puzzle on this, that it's actually more about how the district is going to do things. I mean, WMATA provides the buses, but the lanes belong to the district. So,
right.
But I think, again, maybe this also falls into the bucket of how Metro deals with the crush of rush hour service. And maybe there's a separate piece for bus and train that we can talk about.
I like that.
But there are strains on the system. And I think just to add to this, there are also ways that bus could take stress off of train as well that we could look into, sort of cross-cutting routes and things like that where people wouldn't need to take the Metro because they'd have another option.
Dan.
Yeah. You guys both took exactly what I was going to say. I would just phrase it differently. I think that, you know, what was mentioned yesterday was the limited capacity, the core of the central part of the rail system, which is showing itself worse at rush hour. So focusing on that as the key problem, and specifically one area, which is the tunnels going underneath the Potomac for the blue and orange lines, which you would be covering with the silver line. So I think looking at the rush hour service and the issues of capacity that come up with that, both for rail and bus, because I happen to think that having a good bus priority corridor network can be a good solution, even though long term, for increasing capacity where you just can't do it with the rail. I would just like to add one more idea with respect to the Program and Projects Committee. The idea of a strategic vision, even more than just commenting on momentum, I think that I'd like to be more proactive in terms of not just talking about projects that are being implemented or projects that are proposed, but projects that are alternatives that maybe aren't necessarily proposed to be done, but we think that are a good idea, maybe in the context of the rush hour, but also just in terms of, and this may be a committee thing, or, you know, just in terms of strategically, what do we want the system to look like in 20 years or 30 years, and sort of guidelines about, you know, for example, having the bus system really take a lot of capacity, improving the capacity at the center core as opposed to the periphery first. You know, I think that's a very good way to be proactive.
I don't know how we can work that into a goal thing. Hold that thought, please. Tom.
I think we should try to develop recommendations for the way Metro communicates with riders, but I don't mean it in the broad sense that we've already discussed. What I really mean is the way they communicate about improvements and benefits that they've added to the service. They often focus on things like advertisements that show two guys in a train talking about how great the rail ties are and about 93% elevator efficiency. And one of the things that we've raised before is the idea that nobody really cares about 93% efficiency. And I think we can tie this specifically to the fare increases. I think it gives us another opportunity to say we've made comments on the fare increases. We understand that the fare increases are going to come once the vote comes. And here's what we think communication should look like and sound like around the fare increases. The most telling comment I've ever heard is, the public should know that fare increases affect the operating budget and not the capital budget, but nobody cares. Like, the increase is the increase, and nobody cares about that. So I think we can make So to clarify, I guess, because I'm seeing a confused look.
Yeah, I'm confused.
When Metro is discussing the improvements that they've made and the benefits and improvements, I guess, again, to service, whether it be on the bus or the train or in Metro Access, specifically related to anything relating to fare increases or the revenue that they take in, I think it's important that we provide recommendations for what that communication looks like.
So kind of promoting what they're doing well as an argument for, hey, we're doing a better job.
And promoting it in a way that's different than the way they currently do it, which is we've just attained a 93% escalator efficiency when the 7% of the people, which is pretty much everybody one time a day, don't care about the other 93%. I think there's a way to improve the communication strategy right there, and we should recommend on that.
I understood that point. I didn't understand your second point.
So the fare increases directly impact the operating budget, not the capital budget.
Right.
The capital budget is what directly impacts service improvements and the escalators and things that can be improved long term, not day to day, but can be improved long term.
So basically, you're saying like we're increasing your fares, but this is how it's improving quality service.
Right.
Kind of message.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So for instance, lighting in the parking and lighting in the stations
right.
has been a big capital improvement for Metro. But the communication around that has not been as much or as loud as we've attained a 93% escalator efficiency. And what I would like to see is better recommendations about the way Metro communicates about improvements that they make, because we have fare increases that are going to come. Like, I don't think any of us are under the illusion that they're not going to vote to increase the fares. So when that happens, I think we should be recommending ways to communicate about what that's going to do long term for riders on the Metro system, whether that be rail, bus, or access.
Patrick, before you came in, we were talking about one thing that definitely would be of joint interest would be doing something about bus accessibility, doing a survey of bus stops with an eye toward accessibility schedule, you know, making the bus stops a better deal for everyone. But they need to do more because they're still...
Figure out really inaccessible bus stops, overlay them
Okay, that'll be. Okay. I don't think I was aware of that. Okay, so we've basically gone around. It is now 20 minutes to 8. We need to finish this meeting by 8 o'clock. So.
Yes.
Let's go back to what we had before.
Sorry, I just got a message from Barbara that the audio stopped.
Oh, because I was about to ask. Okay, what are our next steps? I know there are some people, and Ben is not here to advocate for himself, so I'll mention this, but if you'll notice at the end of his comments, he feels that we can do a lot of stuff. Most people who commented said they would rather stick to 3 or 4 things or a few things that we can do well. So, I mean, I am of the latter school. I think that we need to pick 4 or 5 strategic projects and focus on those, and we can put the rest in a parking lot, perhaps, to be dealt with as we think we can. And I think Dan had a good idea in terms of comments. This does not mean, and Patrick also alluded to it, this does not mean that as things come up, we can't send a letter to the WMATA board about a specific thing that may come up that's not on our project list or not on our work plan, but we feel strongly about. But I'm of the school that we need to pick a limited number of things. I don't have a specific number in mind, but I think we need to pick a limited number of things that we can achieve a significant milestone or finish in this calendar year. Yeah, I mean the RAC as a whole, because everything would still have, virtually everything that's done still has to come to the full RAC. So.
Wouldn't that be like the work of the individual committees, where they do most of the grunt work? Because let's say like if we have 10 issues and we have like 4 working committees or something like that, each committee can do the grunt work and the full body can vote on it whether they agree with the actions recommended by the working committees?
Right. Well, yeah, and that's basically the way we're going to do it.
Okay.
But I'm saying, you know, WMATA staff is paid and full time.
Right.
Okay. We've got 20 seats filled in the RAC. To be honest, we've got probably at least 2 members that are inactive at this present time that we're going to deal with later on with the RAC leadership team. So when you parse that further down, and most of you work full-time or do something else, you know, you're not sitting home waiting for these meetings to happen. I personally think that there's a limited amount of time that you have to do things well. Let's put it this way.
Carol, I guess what's going to happen next, I assume, is that they'll be, at the next meeting, we'll be asking for who wants to be members of these committees.
Well, I would like to push the envelope a little and say I'd like, before we leave here, to maybe come up with, it looks like 2 broad committees, appoint a convener, because we have 3 people. If we can get Barbara on the line of the RAC leadership team, the chair can appoint a convener of these committees and have the committees maybe further work to refine and prioritize these things. Because I would really like to have a finished product to present at the April meeting. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah. A lot of them can be clustered.
Right, right. I mean, I think, and I think your point is, well, I that's what I'd like to see. And I mean, you know, and this could mean that the 2 committees, the 2 groups would decide to, okay, this more, as we talked about it more, this seems more to you, your thing.
So what you're talking about is not a committee. You're just talking about a group of people that are going to take, let's say, for example, the Program and Projects Committee, the list we have, and organize it into 2 or 3 things that we would present in the April meeting.
It's not just a, I would say that, if your bent is toward customer service and what's up there on the customer service, I want you to declare yourselves now to be on that group in that committee. If your bent is toward the Program and Projects, which is not the most glamorous name, it was the best we could do at the time, declare yourselves and work on that. And, I mean, you know, and I'm assuming, again, that I know this is asking a lot of people, that you will put something out for people to comment on so that by the time we have the April meeting, people will have pretty much decided which committee they're going to be on and have made comments on or at least seen the thinking of the...
Can you be more specific about put something out?
Well, okay, I would say that, let's say... You all decide to be the customer, you four over there decide to be the customer service committee. You all would get together, take the topics that are under that, prioritize them, streamline them, cluster them, do whatever. Okay? And then come up with a proposal that you might want to float before the actual full RAC meeting for comment. Or you might not, because maybe that's, you know, involving another layer. Then at the RAC meeting, what we would hope to do is to get other people to join that committee and to actually have a chair.
Oh, yeah.
That, huh? Does that sound like too much? No. Right, but I'm saying that I guess what you all have done, congratulations, by showing enough interest and passion to actually attend the meeting, you're now taking on additional work, you know, which is putting this into some format that we don't have to gravel around like I did at the beginning, you know.
I have a question, just for a point of clarification. So are you saying the people at this meeting today, I guess we'll split in groups and cluster that and come up with deliverables and then present that to the whole body?
When I say deliverables, come up
with...
Well,
action
plan.
Items.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I was a little
confused. I would think that
you
would prioritize them. And Barbara had a good idea. Maybe instead of a strict rank order, her comment was maybe we want to do high, medium, and low. So you don't have to be spending time saying which is going to be 4 and which is going to be 5.
Okay.
Do we want to do that?
I think that's good to do, but I'd hesitate to present it too strongly. I mean, to the whole, because it seems like it's almost like doing the work of the committee before people have been, like, formally had the possibility of nominating themselves for a committee. So, people are going to have, I mean, we could put 4 things for the program committee. People are still going to, at that full meeting, they're still going to have comments to try to include things.
The only reason, smack me on the hand if you think this is wrong, okay? I am conscious of the fact that last year we had a very ambitious agenda. And even as Ben says as a chair, that we didn't accomplish because we got bogged down in getting it off the ground, okay? I think that this year we have a good chance of accomplishing more if we try to do more work before we actually get to the meetings. And even though I believe in the democratic process, messy though it may be, everyone got a copy of the proposal. I think it first went out, you know, like in February. It went out again. People had an opportunity to comment on it. People had an opportunity to attend. And I'll admit to the fact that I did not widely advertise that you could call in because I thought if we had, you know, 3 people sitting here and 20 people on the phone, it would be not as useful. But people had, I think, and, you know, I want frank feedback. I feel that people had an opportunity to comment. So I don't think we're doing anything undemocratic by asking you to form like a core group. Maybe we'll call you the core group of these committees to come up with a proposal. But as of April 5th or whenever the next meeting is, we will formally establish the committees and formally establish a chair of those committees. That's what I would suggest, because otherwise we're not going to get far. You know, if we keep iterating and...
I don't think it's going to be much work, but I agree with that. Let's just divide up. Or
okay.
I'd like to be on program 5.
Wait a minute. Let me go around. Let me start with Aldea. Customer service, right? Huh?
Yep.
I would like to be on customer service, but I am going to be out of town. Big chunk until the next meeting. So.
Okay.
You're out of the rack. Executive.
And it sounds like.
I'm one of the at-large people.
It's not large people, it's at large.
Same difference.
Dexter.
Customer service.
Okay. Karen.
Governance.
Oh, yeah, well, before you came in, we're going, that's a foregone conclusion. So you have to pick another one. I'll give you a chance.
She's like, what are you talking about?
Think about it.
You think about it. Mm-hmm. Understanding that you all might decide, one of the things you all might decide to do is to split up customer service into safety and security, right? Okay. I mean, I'm just saying that not because of you. Patrick, do you want to do this or do you want to?
Probably
the project. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Lorraine. Yeah. Yeah, I can ask him. Barbara. Well, I'll find out for. Is she,
she may be muted.
Okay, so she can hear me, but she should be able to hear, which I haven't talked into the mic. Okay, Karen, what we decided at the outset was that the things under governance are going to be the RAC leadership team plus any and other interested people. So that's what I'm saying.
Budget committee is still valid.
Budget committee is still valid, although we doubt that there's going to be.
There's my committee.
Okay, so so why don't you be the lead on the governance committee? No, really, that would help. That would really help.
Carol, I can get a hold of Ben. We can work on the program project.
Okay.
Or at least come up with something and we can distribute it or email it. I don't think it's going to take very long.
Well, I think I will work on program and projects too. I'm not, that's not my favorite, but it seems like that's where we need more people. Okay.
Barbara was the head of customer service.
Who?
Barbara. So I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll get in touch with her. I assume that Ben will be interested in projects and program and projects. Okay. All right. Let me sort of. Think about this, how we're going to do this in terms of the convening. My mind is sort of in a gap right now, so let me think about this, and I'll email everybody who's here in the morning with who should be the convening, because I want to double check with Ben and not assume anything, and the same thing with Barbara. So what do you all need to get started? We may actually get out of here early. You basically need... We basically need a copy of this, right?
Okay.
And we come back with the understanding that for customer services, you might decide that you all are going to split into two groups.
Possibly. But I think we should more focus on, like, clustering by issue area, because people will get into our debate about which committees we should have. And to Ben's point, that kind of takes away the focus of what our purpose is when we get into
right.
It.
No, I think that definitely when you come in April, mm-hmm. you need to have – exactly what these things mean. I mean,
right.
In other words, we can't use, you know, like a little paragraph that says this is what this will do. You know, you be more explicit and concrete about what it is, because I think that way you can attract people who are going to do what they need to do. So
right, it's less about, the way I look at it, is less about just general headings, but
right.
specifically sort of what the deliverables would be.
Okay. So is that it for everybody? Okay. And everybody has everybody's email. Okay. Thank you very much. And Lorraine, you sent me some, as I said, I apologize to people about this Earthlink business. You sent comments in about this, and I forgot, I don't think I included you in my... No, but you did send them in, and I should have... If I didn't put your comments in, it's because they've disappeared from my computer.
Before everybody cuts out, I just want to make sure, and we're I just want to make sure that nobody, it doesn't seem like anybody is anticipating any physical meetings between now and April 2nd, but I just want to confirm that, or were you all thinking of getting together in person?
Would that be a problem?
necessarily. I just kind of wanted to get, I didn't really have a sense when you all broke up, so I'm just trying to get a sense of that.
I would strongly suggest that you try to do it over email, or can they set up a is there a teleconference?
We have a conference one.
So they could talk to each other without anybody having to be here, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I would strongly suggest that you try to do it that way. And I'm saying that selflessly for a couple of reasons. John is doing at least two and sometimes maybe three jobs, so we don't want to wear him out at least this early in the game.
But I could also participate in your teleconference.
Oh, yeah.
That may be easier. It just doesn't set up issues. So if you're okay doing that, it's fine. I understand the value of face-to-face meetings. Maybe we try that, and if we need to do something...
No, I would say that at this point, I think by virtue of the meeting, greet, and the fact that the people here are real, I think we have a really engaged group of people. I think we can do the teleconference and work on it that way. Well, I think you need some. You're going to have to hammer out some of the wording so when you come in April, people will know exactly what we're talking about, you know. Anywho. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.